depending upon the help of God, I would direct your mind this morning to the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 12, and the first two verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 12 and the first two verses. The Holy Spirit led the Apostle Paul to write these chapters and the very text that we have now announced. And no doubt the Apostle Paul could speak from experience. He had known that there was a time, yea, in his day, when there was a great cloud of witnesses. How little can we speak today, if we can at all, of being a cloud of witnesses. These solemn days wherein we live, so few, that manifest the grace of God, so few there are that are hungering and thirsting for those blessed rivers and streams and those things that you have been singing of respecting Gethsemane. But the Apostle here, as I might just have a few thoughts, he commands here, wherefore. Seems so amazing that there should be a people, a great cloud of witnesses. And we can look back over the portion we have read at this time in the 11th chapter, and how we have read of those dear men, women, saints, patriarchs, prophets, who walked that path of tribulation, and how they were, many of them, persecuted, some put to death, others had to pass through, shall I say, agony of body, imprisonment, and various ways. But, dear friends, in their heart was life, and that life in their souls brought forth faith to believe, faith to stand, faith to endure what was laid upon them. And no doubt in those days it could be said, as our text speaks, of a great cloud of witnesses, many who feared God. In the New Testament, we read of thousands coming where Jesus was. I'm not saying that all called by divine grace, far from it. But many came to see this wonderful man that they heard of, Jesus, and his wonderful miracles that he had performed. But amongst them, there's no doubt, there was a great cloud of witnesses. Many, many that came to Jesus, witnessing, believing. Faith calls them to believe. Therefore, they were witnesses of, shall I say, the electing love of God, the Father, and witnesses of his dear beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, true witnesses of those things that you have been singing, some was believed by faith, true witnesses of Christ and salvation through him, true witnesses of his, by faith, as it were, of death. And yet we can go back to those days of the persecution and also of the death of the Lord Jesus. And there were witnesses then in those days that it was the Christ. My mind goes for a moment to the poor woman by the well. She came, as you know, to the well destitute, but she went back into the city among these witnesses to witness unto those in the city that it was a prophet. Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? A compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And coming even at a later date, even into those of our forefathers who lived, we'll say, 100 years ago and so, how they, some of those prophets, some of those ministers, entered in to large churches and places of worship, and there were thousands came to hear them. So we can come back to a closer date, as it were, and say, somewhat with the apostle and according to our text, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I have thought at times, at least as I thought upon this word, this cloud of witnesses, in the book of Psalms, have we not witnesses there? Of the psalmist David and the writers of those psalms, such as Moses and Asaph, all led by the Holy Spirit to pen what is written in the psalms, and isn't there a great cloud of witnesses? What I mean is this, in the language, in the very language of those psalms, doesn't it fit in sometimes into your heart? Hasn't there been times perhaps you've opened the scriptures, opened upon the psalm, and there's been something there that has witnessed into your heart of the life of God? Why, the old book, my friends, speaks of witnesses. Yea, what one or two or three men witnessed and was enabled by the help of the Spirit to pen, to leave it on record for us and for all the Lord's children following on to know. And they be a witness to us. Such a word as this, it may be, what David prayed for. Show me some token for good. And that's been your language. Therefore, cannot we say that the psalmist has been a witness of these things that we have been enabled to gather up, as it were, by the help of God, and prove they were witnesses to the truth? David and others, many of them. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, we know not how many stood around that cross of the Lord Jesus. We do not know how many passed that way on the road on the outskirts of Jerusalem, where he hung and was crucified and died. We do read of a few in the Gospel of John. There was Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene, and also Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and a disciple. John. And I've often looked at it in reading the scriptures, the New Testament, how John must have been a very, very humble man. He wouldn't bring forth his name if it was possible. We read at one place, I believe, or two, where it says, and the other disciple, the other, didn't wish to bring his name into it. Well, there was these by the cross of Jesus when he entered into those deep sufferings, even of death. No doubt there were many, as I've hinted upon, passed that way and saw him. Some, no doubt, blasphemed his name. Speaking only just recently from those words in the Psalm 37, where it says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Behold him. Well, no doubt is he hung there, and on many other occasions where his name was blasphemed, where they marked him, not in love, as those few around the cross whom he loved, but they marked him as a beggar, they marked him as a blasphemer, they marked him in a way that was headed to persecution upon his spirit. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, the apostle here gives good advice. He says, let us lay aside. In other words, for us to go forth and manifest, shall I say, the grace the Lord has given. What does he say in the Ephesians? That ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, our old nature, our carnal nature. Dear friends, have we got as far as this? Some of us here has made an open profession of his name. I've often thought, I believe, the last line in one of our hymns that we sing on a baptizing service, after his example, rise. And how often I thought of it, and how far short I come. So the apostle here says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man that comes out of the old nature, the carnal man. And he tells us which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts within our spirit by nature. And be renewed, he says, by in the spirit of your mind. So we have it in the text from the Apostle Paul, if we might just look upon it from that viewpoint, though we should look upon it as being the Word of God, which it is, and the voice of God. Wherefore, seeing then, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside. And then we have another word in this epistle of the Corinthians. Having therefore these promises, dearly the beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So the apostle advising, if I might so speak, and speaking to the Hebrews, saying, lay these things aside, which we have known in days that are past, which we have entered into those things that are carnal and disgraceful unto God. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about, knowing somewhat of these things we have read in the 11th chapter, not to the depth of it, far, far from it. We have read that they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. This is not known in our day, but it was in the days of the past. So the apostle could say here, let us lay aside these things. Lay aside, dear friends, cannot we say that these dear men and women spoken of and we have read of laid them aside? Grace was given to them, lay them aside. They stood for things that are first, and these secondary things, as it were, they laid aside, earnestly seeking their standing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and is death and is sufferings. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Oh, how we would rejoice to see. I'm not saying that these things spoken of and read of, that we should have to endure them. I don't know if we could. Only unless the Lord would be pleased to give us grace to stand in those sufferings. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about, how we would rejoice to see those days of true spiritual prosperity known in our land as well as in the whole world. Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Well, do we in our small measure witness to the world that we know something of grace? That there's a standing out, as it were. In other words, to be separated from those who are still walking in those paths of sin and wickedness. A witness that the Lord has called us by his grace, implanted the fear of God in our hearts, a witness even to the world that we know something of a true religion, a witness that we believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to be a witness, as it were, before the world, believing that Jesus came to call, yea, came to save a great multitude of poor sinners. Do we stand before the world in our profession of the name of the Lord Jesus? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, oh, to be able to walk out what we profess. I'm sure I have some here this morning. You're often tried and troubled, and you have to take it to the throne of God. Rightly so. In our text, it speaks of looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, looking unto him to have some evidence, some sure token that your profession of the name of Jesus, manifested even before the world. I was going to say, it's quite easy, if I might use that word, to show our profession when we come to the house of God. Yes, and before those who are the brethren and so on. But friends, when we come before the world, oh, for that grace. Wherefore, seeing we also are comfortable with so great a cloud of witnesses within and manifested in our lives, that we know something of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now the Apostle says, let us. There's this little word, us, he included himself. And that there can be, dear friends, when rightly looked upon, a comfort to us. He included himself. He did not put himself above any others, Hebrews. He never put himself above any other. He says, me also. Let me, said the apostle, lay it aside, every weight. And the sin. Well, how is this to be done? Have we the strength, the ability, in and of ourselves, to lay these things aside? Would you or I have ever laid these things aside if the Lord had not visited us, called us with that heavenly calling? What does this dear apostle say? Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. And that's the secret of it. He had been called. Let us who have been called. Let us whom thou hast looked upon in mercy, there us whom have been called by grace, us, lay aside. It's wonderful to me how these dear men and women in some places testifies of the mercy of God, how they included themselves, let us. And you know what the apostle was? In his early days, he lived in the spirit of a Pharisee. He knew what it was to speak against these people that he now loved, against these Hebrews, against the brethren. He could go back to those days when he persecuted many, gave his voice that many who feared God should be put to death, in prison, put to death. Let us, he says, well, what had happened in his case, there had been a change wrought in his heart. Has that change been in ours? Let us lay aside. Well, the apostle on the way to Damascus, I believe, when he heard the heavenly calling, a voice from heaven, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And there was a change wrought. And from that moment he could come, as it were, in this word, us. Yet us, says the apostle, knowing what he had been and the many difficulties of in his experience. Now he says, let these, everything, every weight, let it lay it aside. Seek the first things first. Let not the secondary things, the things of the world and things that are, even of grace, as then in the secondary place, let them not be first. Well, you might say, what's the first? Jesus. Jesus is the one thing needful. I without him perish must. Let us lay aside. Let everything that is of an endurance of running in the race set before us. Oh, how we need grace, dear friends. At least I do. I do. Some of us have had many years of a profession of the name of Jesus. I do not say this boastingly, I say it humbly. I believe if spared to the coming Sabbath, when I first sat down at the ordinance of the Lord's house, something like 54 years ago. And still, I know something of this text and desire to be more separated from the world. Let us lay aside. Lay them aside. Seek first the things that matters for eternity and our soul. Let us lay aside. Lay them aside. Bring forth those things to our remembrance. Pray for those things. What things? Why, the things of grace, the fear of God. Let us lay aside. He says, oh, many things that weigh us down, is there not? Many griefs, many sorrows, much misgiving, many things that us come closer, even to those things perhaps are lawful for us to do. But the apostle says, lay them aside. There's something more important. Though they're lawful things, though they may be for our help and our comfort, maybe even for the blessings of God to rest upon us in a temporal way, providential way, lay them aside, seek first those things that are for eternity. Let us lay aside. Dear friends, we have these things at times that are a great weight, even sometimes of affliction. You say, how can we lay that aside when the Lord lays his hand upon us? Well, no, but where eyes are up unto the Lord, that we might be given grace not to murmur with his hand of affliction. Let it be the secondary things, first the things of God, of Christ. This weight often laid upon his dear people, and he's given the word to encourage those who are often passing through affliction. And what is it? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. And how often the Lord has been pleased to sanctify our afflictions, being sanctified to us. When do we lay this way? Let us lay aside every weight. When can we lay these things aside? Why, when the Lord, as I've mentioned, sanctifies it. I believe there's times in the experience of the Lord's dear people, you know something of it, when you've been in that sore affliction, and yet you could endure it by the grace of God, and you've laid it aside. Jesus is the one thing needful. I without him perish must. Let us lay then aside every weight. And oh, the difficulties sometimes in the church of God or in the family, saying nothing about the nation and our little denomination. Oh, these things that are often laid with weight upon our spirit. Yes. And my mind goes to those dear people who were praying for Peter. Praying for him. We can understand the poet taking it up when he wrote, "Wrestling prayer can wonders do, bring relief in deepest straits. Prayer can force a passage through iron bars, brazen gates." Let us lay aside every weight. Every weight. They were praying and praying and wrestling with God, that one whom they loved, a brethren, as it were, one of their own household, if I might say, the household of faith. Yes, they were praying for him. The Lord appeared. The Lord worked wonders. Oh, how true, as we've often quoted, God moves the mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Let us lay aside every weight, whatever it may be, dear friends, and seek first the kingdom of God. Now, I do not speak lightly in these things. I know the difficulty, and I'm sure of this. We need the help of God to do it. We haven't the power in our own spirit to lay these things aside and to be more earnest, diligent, where the word tells us to seek first the kingdom of God. To be diligent in search of eternal life, and to be diligent in prayer, earnestly seeking for grace and more faith to walk out what we profess. And to be numbered, manifested, be numbered among this great cloud of witnesses that the Lord has. He's got a few witnesses, I believe, on earth. I believe I quoted in prayer that these last days wherein we live is but a remnant, a remnant. But oh, to be among that remnant, and taking notice of the word in the text, and to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. will open me. Truly, the word is true in the text. So easily beset us. How easily these sins appear. Appear into our own hearts. Oh, how true it is. Heart by nature deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. These sins, the devil with his temptations, and at times we give way to them. Sad to say. What do we want? We want more grace to stand against those temptations. Sometimes the temptations outwardly, sometimes within. Even within our thoughts, we give way to the temptation. Sometimes in our conversation, we give way. Instead of standing firm and to be a true witness of the truth that is in Jesus Christ the Lord. The sin which doth so easily beset us, do they not easily come? Or how often one has perhaps spoken a word and afterwards thought, well, should I have worded it thus? Should I have acted such? Should I have spoken such? Oh, these sins, dear friend, and that sin of unbelief, oh, how quickly it rises. Well, the apostle was subject to them. He knew all about them. He's not given advice either. Without having such a knowledge of himself and desire to be freed from them himself, let us lay aside, he says, every weight. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. Oh, we can easily fall into a wrong spirit. We can easily fall into the spirit of unbelief and the temptations that I've mentioned. Oh, so many sins that are around us, in us. Why, our carnal nation can do nothing but sin. Oh, what a mercy it is if we have that principle of grace within ourselves. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Dear friends, you know there's sin sometimes manifested in us when we're in the house of God. It's sad to say it, but it is so. And I'm sure the apostle would hear again say, let us, I'm included. Yes, we're included. Even sins in the house of God. Sins when we are serving him. Sins, as it were, in the preaching. I'm not exempt from it. You say, well, what's the sin? Let pride come, dear friends. Sin, pride is an abomination unto the Lord, and how easily it comes along, even in the pulpit at times, when we've been helped, as it were. Yes, and there's been a little pride rising within one's heart. Let us lay aside everything. And the sin which doth so easily beset. Oh, how we need to cry unto the Lord that we may be kept and saved from these many things that are of the creature, that is of the flesh. Well, I'll leave it for this morning. Wherefore, says the apostle, may we at this time think upon it in this wise. He's speaking to us, or the Lord is speaking to us in his word. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and a sin which doth so easily beset us. And our text says, and let us run with patience the race that is set